this was happening to someone, so what do we do when it's you? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, but I need someone that can get past me, you know? And so they ended up finding this woman. It was like $200 an hour, which I was like, what? For in Colorado, which I already had a plane ticket and was going there anyways, had never been there a day in my life. So that's how God lines that up. And I walk in to this woman's office. It was the weirdest experience ever. It was like meeting me with 10 years experience. It was really crazy. She's awesome. And the first thing out of her mouth is, she says, honey, I don't care who's told you that you can't receive love. You couldn't if you wanted to, because your receiver's broken. I didn't even know what that looked like, you know? Now, what's funny is I've turned around and done the same thing on other people since, but at the time, it was all about me. And she literally prayed, and I felt her and watched her go into the supernatural and retrieve my receiver. I didn't know what happened. I felt like I was hit with a ton of bricks, and I'd have paid $1,000 if I had it. Like, I can't even begin to explain the freedom I got in that meeting. And I walked out, and my friend Jordan at the time was at the bottom of the stairs. And I walked out, and he just looked up at me, and he's just a really close friend. Just got married today, actually. And all of a sudden, I felt love for the first time. Physically, like, I felt what love, I knew how to give it out, but I did not know how to receive it. So needless to say, I go back to L.A., and I would imagine for those of you who are high functioning seers and feelers, the LA atmosphere is a pretty hard place. So going there raw and stripped and empty was pretty hardcore. So I was there about 4 or 5 days. Oh wait, hold on just a minute. Let me back up, because this plays into this. When I first got to Colorado, I'd never been there in my life. And God was funny. Now, mind you, I ran to LA because I didn't want people to know me, right? And I get there, and people knew me in Colorado, and it was the weirdest thing ever. I didn't know, and I cried. I sat in the children's church room in the back, and I cried, and I hid. And then the lady came in there, and she says, there's a woman outside really adamant to talk to you. And so I was like, okay. And I go out there, turns out it was a kid that I went through first year with. It was his mom, and I had met her and loved her. So we did the whole, girl thing. It was really cool. And she invited Jordan and I over for dinner. We're having dinner. They know nothing of what's going on in my life, nothing. And at dinner, she goes, Jenna, can I have permission to love you? Now, this was before the meeting. You don't even know. And she grabs my hand, and as awkward as this sounds, okay, whatever, it was God. It just sounds weird. She takes me by the hand, and she takes me back in this room, and she lays me on this bed, and she crawls in next to me, and she holds me for 2 hours while I weep. And I don't even know why. I found out later. But anyways, the reason that comes into play is a few days after I was back in L.A., oh, man, I was a hot mess. And I was like, I need to fill up. I need to go to the Alabaster House. I need to go to church. I need to worship. I need to get filled up. I'm just empty. I'll be good. So I get in my van, and I drive up to Reading. And I get there, and okay, yes, I made the mistake of posting on Facebook I was there, but I buckled again, and I literally would just drive into Sarah's house. I never made it to church. I never made it to the Alabaster House. And so I decided I need to get away from everybody, and I was going to go spend the night at the Hilton alone. And people showed up wanting prayer. And I buckled even more. This is not, I know this sounds like such a dumb thing to whine about, but it's where I was at, you know? Oh, it was not pretty either. I went off on some people in the parking lot of the Hilton. It was not pretty, and definitely not my best moment. And When I left there the next day after checkout, I was driving, and God goes, you're going to go to Colorado and live with the Crespins, and you're going to learn how to receive love. Oh, yeah, God, because I know them like that. Okay, what am I supposed to do? He's like, call them. I was like, oh, what am I going to say? Call them. What? What do you say to that? You just call up these people you've met twice in another state. I'm going to come live with you and love me. You know, how does that work? And I now call him Pops and Linda, but I call and they put me on speakerphone and I hear Pops chuckle. And he goes, Jenna, don't worry about it. God already told us. We bought you a plane ticket. We have a room for you and we know what's going on. And I never said a word. I was like, trying to explain to everybody that's really worried about me, that knows I'm a hot mess, and now I'm, okay, a chick who's known for running, okay, that, hey, God said go to Colorado. That went over real well. But I finally realized what the wilderness was like, and I didn't realize how much when the attack started against me, how much I had really picked up an offense with God on where were you. And I left all my friends and my family. Oh wait, I left out this part. Driving and God says, I want you to lay down third year. What? Okay, I didn't even have a high school diploma. My first accomplishment ever was graduating rehab. So the idea of going to Bethel and not finishing was ludicrous to me. And so, and I'm really good when God asks me to do something like check done. But not this time. I begged and borrowed, or tried to borrow, pleaded, negotiated for 4 days. And then the Lord very clearly said, whatever you can't lay down is before me. Well, I had a plan, you know? So that was a hard one, but I did. I left everything. All my stuff was in LA, my friends and family in schools in Redding. I'm going to Colorado. I don't know why. I've been there once for a week ever. Okay, I say yes. And I get there with the most sickening, loving people ever. Oh, I hated it so much. And I did not realize how bad I could not. I didn't know that I was that bad. And I get there and they're like, oh, here, you can drive this new Denali. And we'll leave money on the counter every day for gas. Okay, well, most people, that'd be like a dream. Okay, here's orphan, I'm a burden girl. No, 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 you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And I remember Linda rolling her eyes at me one day about 3 days in. She's like, hey, I'm going to get you a towel and a washcloth and whatnot. I was, no, 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 you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Everything was, no, 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 don't worry about it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Don't worry about it. I can do it. Can I vacuum for you? Can I do the dishes? Can I do the idea of being in someone's house and I'm not paying anything. I'm not, like, I just did not do this well at all. I really sucked at it. And then what am I supposed to do? I'm in Colorado in the middle of nowhere. I'm used to being in God's playground, right? I'm used to, there's always someone to pray for, someone manifesting both good and bad. Like, I'm in a world, and now I'm in the middle of the sticks. I couldn't minister if I wanted to. And I was in the wilderness, and I couldn't hear him. And God was very specific. I was not supposed to minister during this time. So what happens? I'm there 2 weeks, and this lady from LA calls me and says, hey, if I fly you out first class, will you take me through some inner healing? I'm supposed to learn to be a daughter and receive love. God would want me to fly first class. Yes, I will. And so I did. And I got on a plane. Well, you know what? God doesn't make bad things happen to us, but boy, we can sure step out from under that covering. I landed Tuesday night, and Wednesday morning, I'm in the ER with my appendix exploded in more physical pain. Now, mind you, I'm an ex-pill addict. And now I'm on enough drugs to kill a horse and still in tremendous physical pain. And they waited 4 days to take my appendix out. They just doped me up and antibiotics. But here's where it gets real. And this is where you're going to probably get the verbal process. For First of all, I'm on drugs that are very familiar to me. And I'm alone in Los Angeles. The lady I was there to be with had just had knee surgery. So I literally was alone there for like 9 days, trapped literally in a demonic funhouse in my head. I couldn't fight if I wanted to. In more physical pain than I knew what to deal with. And I was so mad. God, where are you? Where are you? And then the day that they were actually going to do my surgery, the Crespins FaceTimed me. Like, I went on shutdown. I wasn't calling people. I wasn't talking to people. Most people didn't know. I'm crying about being alone, but yet I didn't tell nobody where I was. You know, it kind of works that way. And the Crespins FaceTimed me. And I fill them in on what's going on. And Linda looks at me and she says, I've never wanted you home more than I want you home right now. I wish I was there to advocate for you. And I want to play with your hair and kiss your forehead. And for the first time ever, the normal Jenna response would have been, I got it. Don't worry about me. I got this. I can handle this. And I was like, I want that. I have never wanted to be loved so much in my life and have someone take care of me. And it took my stubbornness, that last massive root of self-rejection and self-hatred. God wasn't going to let me go any further. He was not going to let me go any further without getting rid of that. So here's where I am still a little stubborn. The next day, I'm supposed to have 3 little incisions. I'm cut from here all the way down. Enough staples to start Amtrak. And I looked at the doctor and I said, you got 2 choices. I'm leaving. You can either help me do it the safest way possible or not. And less than 24 hours after major surgery, I got on a plane and flew to Colorado after checking myself out of the hospital. I'm not saying that was wise, but I wasn't staying there anymore. So what do you do when you realign yourself back with what God is doing versus what you're doing yourself? And you have a lot of time on your hands and you can't go anywhere, can't do anything, can barely make it to the bathroom by yourself. Not gonna lie, I watch 90210. And the guilt and shame that was attached to that. And I'd be like, this is not productive. I need to go read a Danny Silk book. I need to go in my room. And God would be like, no, go see what Kelly and Donna are doing. And I'm like, oh, this is, okay. Okay, I'll watch TV, but I'm gonna watch a cooking channel. Oh my gosh, me and God are, go see what is happening with Dylan and David, you know? I'm like, God, this is not okay. Like, I need to read the Bible. I need to soak. I need to worship. Nope. And day turned in, well, then what happens? Then they, over the next 2 months, had to reopen my stomach 3 times. I had 2 stents in ICU, almost died twice. And I lost my hope for the first time in a very long time because I literally, I'm a girl. Okay, I do. I'm going to own it. I have ridiculous favor on my life. I didn't own that for a long time. That felt really good to say. But at this point, I was not waking up expecting favor. I was expecting disaster. And to be very raw, this is what my prayers look like the last 2 months. God, I'm pissed as hell. I'm so angry. But I choose you. But I choose you. I can't feel you. I can't hear you. I'm in the middle of freaking nowhere. But I choose you. I'm not going to let Satan take my hope. So, about the time that I start to get better, Sarah calls me and says, what do you think about skipping 3rd year and coming back to Bethel and doing that Jenna thing you do and meeting with leaders and students? Okay, now hold on. This is a girl where they've been wanting me to own my awesomeness and I'm supposed to like love myself now. So I went like this. Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Sure. I get off the phone with Sarah and I call Jordan. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Freaking out. And then a couple days later, I said, okay, sir, I got to tell you the truth. This is what really happened. And she's like, I got robbed. That's the response I was going for, you know. But I still, I flew to Reading, still had stitches, had just gotten a vacuum out of my stomach, was still on medication. But I got there right before Christmas break. And I was like, okay, God, I'm starting right after Christmas break is over, and I'm not doing it on drugs. So we're going to do this. And as soon as Christmas break went out, I was like, I'm getting all this stuff out of, okay, I still had stitches. Honestly, in most people's standards, I could have been on medicine for a while. She chewed me out, in fact. But I was like, no, not doing that. But I had no idea what to expect, right? Well, so then, you know, I get there, and it's very weird. People that have been your leaders are now scheduling to meet with you. I don't care who you are. That's weird. It's an adjustment, you know? But then I'd realize I'd be in these sessions with these one-on-ones with people, and I'd be getting wrecked by what God's doing because it's so not about me. It is so not about me. It's about him and what he wants to do. So I'm not there very long, and I started in January. February is my birthday. And I'm sitting with a group of friends at a restaurant in Reading. Grand Buffet. And this particular angel that I'm familiar with, all of a sudden, almost snide remarkingly says, when are you going to break that lie that such and such? It doesn't matter what the lie is, it's personal. I don't know what happened, but I was like, whoa, I do believe that lie. Okay, I'm going to break that off and renounce it. So I did, and I don't know what happened, because they don't even go together. But as soon as I broke that lie, I started getting these downloads about the territorial strongholds over LA, and here comes Azusa and all this stuff, and I started getting these visions about... back in the gold rush days and brother turning against brother and the carnage that was just going on and what people were doing over the greed, over the gold. And I'm like, whoa, okay. You don't just come up with that at your birthday dinner. But I can't even imagine what I look like to my friends that were with me, because I'm like totally just having this geek out moment by myself in the middle of this restaurant. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm like, people are going to think I'm crazy, right? So I start posting a little bit of stuff on my Facebook. Hey, if anybody's interested in territorial strongholds, you know. I mean, Holly and I had gone to Reno to pray over that stuff before, but it was like people around us knew. We didn't, like, go advertising it. And so needless to say, I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to run with this. But I realized something in me. This is when I started to see the fruit of the depths that I had gone to and what was coming out of the breakthrough that I got, you know? And I'm realizing that partnered through intimacy versus, okay, so I have some crazy gifts. Well, guess what? A lot of people have crazy gifts. They're irrevocable. They're not because I'm amazing, you know? They're just there. But partnered with intimacy and the love of the Father is a whole nother ballgame. And so I ended up, I post, like the third time I posted it, next thing I know there's like 67 shares. Whoa. All right, so I'm going to have a meeting at my house. Oh, that was interesting. I didn't know how many people were going to show up. So we end up, and it was awesome because the people that came were like really interested and had ideas. And so we come up with the idea, because it all boils down to repentance. And the Lord had started talking to me. He was, how do I explain? Lord, be my words. How do you do what God does here and get it in words? This is, I can do this one-on-one. This is going to be different. So the Lord kind of shows me a picture of what it looks like when I'm doing a session with someone, right? You break off lies, but then you repent that you ever partnered with them, right? Break the vows, you repent that you ever made them, right? Everything goes down to repentance, right? And he starts showing parallels how with people, the same thing works with territory, right? So I'm like, what would it look like while we're all at Azusa, right? Oh man, I'm getting the God bumps right now. Woo, it was so good. What would have happened to get a bunch of people to all pray in tongues with a heart of repentance at the same time? snap, it was so good. So we decided 333. And honestly, I couldn't tell you how many people actually did it. I just know from the people I knew, we're talking like, I knew that hundreds went into thousands of people. I'll never know how many people did it, right? But I know that, because I got placed, I was down at the stage, that was pretty special. And I'm like, my phone just starts going crazy. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Just do it, you know? And at 3:33, people just started going in tongues and praying with a heart of repentance, standing in the gap for all that had gone on there in Los Angeles, you know, the greed, the lust, the hate, the anger, the murder, the all of it. And it was phenomenal. And I ended up getting assigned to Compton. Oh. I'm one of those weird people that the things most people run from, like I run to, like I love it. I love it. And just seeing these people that we had met with all week in Compton show up at Azusa, had no idea what was going on, right? Oh, it was so good. But then I didn't realize that I had kind of become the girl that you get when people manifest. And about the time that Bethel Music came on, oh man, I'm going after this one thing because I feel like I did a lot of deliverances that day. God did a lot of deliverances that day, but there was one in particular where this young kid, he was like 17 years old, and a group of people from Sarah's second revival group came in. They're like, Jenna, and I'm not gonna lie, there's a little funny thing in there. I forget how much there's still some old mindsets out there, and there's a guy pressing the Bible against this kid's face, thinking the Bible's gonna burn the demon out, you know? What? I didn't even know that was still possible to think that, you know? But needless to say, to try and stop the spectator sport of it and allowed to take him backstage and pray with him, I just looked at him and I said, you know what? Your anger and rage against your father is gonna keep you like this. I ain't got nothing to say to him. I'm like, yep, that would be it right there, you know? And he did not want to do it. But I feel like what's happening right now in Longview coincides with what happened with this kid that day. The awareness here of we're not going to stand for the garbage anymore, and the awareness, like Satan's had his playground no more, right? So this kid, I ended up saying, okay, I want you to look at me and I want you to say to me every single thing you've ever wanted to say to your dad. I ain't got nothing to say to him. I was like, well, then you can stay like that. I'm not going to work on your problem any harder than you are, you know? And then his youth leader walks up, and he goes, I'll do it. I've been your dad for a while now anyways. And at first, the rage and the anger, and I feel like this has already happened in Longview. We're past this point, right? The rage and the anger and the frustration came out, and then you felt the shift with him spiritually. And then it was the weeping of what had been stolen. And I watched this kid go from just like this vicious blood clot of anger and rage that was inside him to just, he's a boy who wanted his dad. He's a boy that just wanted his dad to love him and to spend time with him. And then the next shift came. And that's where I think Longview is right now. And that is, once, like he just dropped to his knees, you know? And I get down on my knees and I just hold him. And he just weeps. And it was like you could tell that all of that garbage was gone. And you could tell that God was coming in and invading, right? And then for the next couple hours, it didn't matter what I did. This kid was on the, you know, up at the stage too. So I kept seeing him worship in complete abandon. Nothing was holding him back anymore. And watching him just, that connection with his father was filtering through all of that anger and that hatred and that rage. And now the father was free to just come in and invade. And, you know, I'm kind of chuckling just because I come back here not as often as I used to. But You know, I don't remember how long I'd been out of the program. But I remember a group of us going down to whatever that, what's that, where did we go? The center of town? City center, okay, that would be it. With Shafar's. And this is back when I was still very focused on what the demonic was doing versus what God was doing. And I remember walking around and just praying and my authority and blowing the shofar and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I didn't know yet. You learn, though, right? Because I feel like there's been so much transition here, and now it's time for God to invade. And I get visions about here, and it's always the same thing. It always has to do with that city center, and it always has to do with just this white, ice blue, realized I matched my story. This white and like ice blue fire just and then out, just down and out, down and out. And the thing is that I want to be a part of that, and I think that there's a lot of people here that are here for a reason, that are called to this, and what's going to come out of here is unbelievable. But the angelic is ridiculous here right now. I have never seen the angelic in Longview the way that it is right now. It's unbelievable. And it's not something big's gonna happen here. It's something big is happening here. But I do believe that it is about repentance. And I do believe it is corporately about, what does it look like to believe that you're called to this? What does it look like to know that you're amazing? What does it look like to actually feel and believe and walk in? Wait, okay, Lord, how do I want to say that? Okay, how many of you guys have prayed the prayer, Lord, show me how you see me? Right? We've all prayed that. So what does it look like to actually know and walk in it and own it? You know? What does it look like to not have the filters of, well, that's for everybody else, and everybody else has gifts, and everybody this and whatnot. You know, what does it look like to stand on His truth? And everyone's in this room for a reason. Longview is going to explode, is exploding. And my journey is crazy. You know, I could never tell the whole thing. It would take a 10-day long constant conference. But I do know this. Almost 5 years ago, exactly. August 25th will be 5 years since my suicide attempt when the Lord found me. And it was not long after that that I ended up at Mountain Ministries through the craziest chain of events, because I lived in Oregon. I lied because you weren't allowed to be on psych meds, and I'd been on enough psych meds to kill a horse. And so I smuggled them in. I did that. And I woke up that first morning and I sat on the edge of my bed and I said, God, I'm done trying to control what parts of me you can have. It's all or nothing. It didn't happen all at once. Oh man, have I made messes. I have messed up, but you know what? Being loved in my mess has been probably the most powerful thing ever. Having people that have come along has been very, very powerful. And yesterday, something really profound happened. I don't remember who said I needed to share this. I think it was you, but at this point, let's just go for it. I was feeling such a heaviness. I was nervous about today, you know. And I ended up FaceTiming Sarah. And I was like, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I'm not nervous, but I am. But I'm this, but I'm that. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I called Ryan. I was like not doing okay. And then she's like, Jenna, you know how to fail. Like, you do failure really well. You know how to, when you've made a mess, dig in and get as much God out of it as you can. And she's like, if you died tomorrow, to you, the fact that you graduated Bethel and speaking and doing your passion, like, that would be success for you. I'm like, yes. She's like, it's like a tenth of what you're called to. But the problem is as these things have happened, the Lord has broken off your cycle of self-sabotage. And so here's your next journey forward, and there's no self-sabotage, so it's foreign to you. You don't know how to just walk and be in that. And I was like, oh, that is so true. That is so true. So here's me right now. God is building an army, and a lot of it's right here in this room. There's a lot of giftings and a lot of anointings, but more than anything, there's a lot of people chasing the heart of God here, and that's what's important. Because when you are chasing his heart, and sometimes that looks like going to the depths, I know this very well, things happen. Amazing things happen. I think that this morning when you were talking about, where'd Kathy go? Oh, there she is. Talking about what happened in Toronto, being nothing compared to what's coming. That is so true. Because it's not just happening here. It's happening a lot of places. And I feel like, okay, Lord, I feel like we entered this in a place of intimacy, in a place of being in his presence and just resting in that, you know? And I feel like the people in this room are meant to break down some of the territorial strongholds over Longview. Because it's not about what the enemy has or what he's done or what he's trying to do. It's what is God doing. And right now in this room is a group of people willing to say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm saying yes. And so, I'm trying to think how I want to go with this. I don't know. Everybody's in different spots. Some of you guys are on top of the world soaring. Some of you are going through it. And there's a whole lot in between, you know? But I feel like if you say yes and want to experience that, that maybe it's time to take a moment of, if it's repentance, repentance. If you feel, I just feel like God wants to invade. I don't know if that means soaking. I just know that the Lord said, end with an encounter. I don't know what it looks like, but you know what? We're going to find out together. So, where'd Jeff go? Yes.
Don't sit down. Okay. One thing I want to say about what she's saying, and it was hitting me earlier, and I thought, oh, am I ever going to, will I share this? Or I thought I might talk about it the first, earlier today. But I think this is really key what she's talking about. And another thing that sometimes happens, and it won't stop coming back to me, so it might just apply to one person or might apply to all of us. But, you know, when you see throughout the scripture, at least throughout the Old Testament, people creating memorials when they met with God. We constantly have this, you know, even Jacob, while he was still Jacob, before he really had, remember he had a dream about the angels of God ascending and descending, and he woke up and he said, wow, God was here in this place, I didn't even know it. And I think it's really important that some of us have also, because I was hugely guilty of this, many of us throughout our life have built memorials, but not to our encounters with God, but to our encounters with our own weakness and with our own failures and with our own sins. And in some cases, you've built a memorial and you've really never torn that down. You've never torn down that altar. So you're advancing toward, so what she's talking about is so huge and it's so key. But we start down that path towards those things. But along that path, oh, here's this altar that I built. And I don't think that we're necessarily worshiping at them. But, you know, sometimes we're stopping and looking at them and going, oh, yeah, there is that. And in some cases, this is what I really went through. There were a lot of things that I had dealt with and perhaps even repented of. But if you've built some kind of memorial that you feel like, you know, I repented of that, but it still troubles me. I think it's not only time to repent of whatever the Lord may show you, but it's also time, in some cases, to just demolish those altars. And, you know, you don't, if God tells you repent, yes. Yeah, exactly. That's a picture I got. If God says to repent of something, repent of it. But let me tell you something. Kick that memorial down, too, because it's done. It's done. Kick it down, grind it to dust. It's right. It's some of these things. It's time to be done. And some of us, maybe I'm done. I love it. Many of us in this room are called to be fathers and mothers. We're called to be fathers and mothers. And to bring the children in. You know, it's just like I talked about this earlier today. Luke saying, will you know me? What he was really saying is, Dad, know me. And, you know, one of the reasons that was a hard thing for me to get to there a couple of years ago with him is because I still had things that were in my life. There, I still had things that I was turning back and looking at. And the Lord, again, I fully believe in repentance, but in some cases you've repented of things and they're done, or maybe right now you need to repent of something. But I can't encourage you strongly enough, if God points it out and you repent, get rid of that memorial too, because it's done.
I feel like I had this startling idea. Danny, you, Ryan, calling you out. I realize there's some heart changers in here. There's some who aren't. Any of you guys familiar what a proxy is? Okay. I feel like I had talked, well, Ryan didn't know, but I had planned on, I was going to tell you if I need a ministry team, I was going to call you. I feel like we're going to be here, and if anybody wants to repent, talk, proxy. Do you remember that thing when I told that kid, say to me everything you've ever wanted to say? I've been Satan before. No joke. But I think we just want to give an opportunity. It's confidential. It's private. To come up and whatever that blood clot is that's in the center of your chest. I don't know why that keeps coming up, but all the new life trying to go in, and the life trying to go out, and what's trying to get to those vital organs is trying to go through this blood clot of just ick. And it's time to get it out. And so we just want to make ourselves available if you guys would like to come in or just receive prayer. Whatever is on your heart, whatever God's doing. And we can just rest in the presence until then.